Hi, everyone. This is Kevin. You're listening to this podcast on Friday, May 1st, and we recorded today's podcast on Thursday afternoon, April 30th. So at the time we recorded this, we've had one additional positive COVID case here at Electric Boat, and this individual works at Quonset Point and has not been to work since April 24th and had a child who was ill with COVID-19. So as of now, we've got 37 confirmed cases, and 24 employees have since returned to work. So for today's podcast, I'm talking with our Director of Environmental Health and Safety, Paul Marsiglio. And when I arrived at EB in October, I challenged Paul and the operations teams in Groton and Quonset to improve our safety performance. At the end of last year, our injury rates here at EB were twice what I experienced when I was at NASCO. And we also had four significant injuries last year. Since then, we've refocused on safety, and the results have been really encouraging, both before COVID-19 hit and now as we move through the pandemic. So, Paul, welcome to the podcast.
Good afternoon, Kevin.
So tell me a little bit about the additional safety programs we've implemented and what your team is doing to keep us safe.
So good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Kevin. So after we had the four significant injuries last year, we stepped back and we broke it down into five different areas. One of them was we claimed a stop the drop theme. One of our employees almost got severely injured, was severely injured when a plate fell and hit him below. We did an intensive training, which included a video with a lot of help from our training department. And a theme of stop the drop, make sure that we control all loose material, tools, and all open holes are covered. We also looked at to and from injuries. There were a significant number of employees, about 33% of our employees getting hurt. 54% of those employees actually lost time for simply walking to and from their job before they even got to their assigned work area. They included trips and falls in potholes, missing a step. We're working with training. We put together a to and from video, and we put a big communication blitz to try to make people aware how do they get to and from their jobs. Operations put a significant move together. They created the Clear and Safe program, which we were a part of. All the supervisors are reviewing their job assignments and breaking them up into low, medium, or high risk, and making sure that the pre-job briefs are provided accordingly. We also instituted a zero injury goal, and quite frankly, that zero injury goal at the beginning was a little bit tough to take because we knew that we would never get past probably a month without an injury, but the message behind the zero injury goal was strong. No injury is acceptable, and when we came up with a goal, and you're looking at the goal, we were actually saying that last year in 2019, it was okay for 522 employees to get hurt, and we would still celebrate making our goal. That's just not a good message. We changed that communication. We modified the messaging that no injury is acceptable. We refocused on preventing electrical shocks. Again, working with the training department and operations, we put together a video. Along with our training, the video was presented to all of our operations folks. We quarterly check for electrical issues, bad extension cords, bad tooling. And we've actually reduced our electrical shocks by half.
So I think that work has been really important. I'm a big believer that if you train on what safety looks like, and we talked a little bit about extension cords, we talked a lot about stop the drop and some of the to and from injuries that we had last year. Getting people to acknowledge and understand what safe looks like is key. So tell me a little bit about what some of the impacts we've seen this year so far.
This year, more people are going home safe than ever before in the history of Electric Boat. That's what it's all about. It's all about our people. So the number of people are going home safer than ever. Our recordable instance rate is down 37% from where we were same time last year, where our lost workday rate is down 34% from where we were last year. Those are incredible numbers. Last year was the first full year that our SIF program, SIF being significant injury and fatality, it's a rate that we established. The idea behind the SIF rate and the SIF program is that companies, studies have shown that companies that have good safety rates have near misses buried that are going to come out at some point and actually cause a significant injury. We call them level three events, or events that you might just think to shrug off because there was no injury and there was no major material issue. This program right now, we've dropped that rate 67%, so from the end of 2019. So when you add those three categories, recordability, lost workday rate, and the SIF rate, we're trending in a very positive role right now.
That's fantastic to hear. It's important, and I think from your perspective, sending people home in the same shape that they were in is critically important. The fact that we're now on historic ground, we've never been this low from a safety incident rate certainly in operations at either Quonset Point or in Groton. So I'm really encouraged to hear that, and I think Paul, we need to keep the pressure on here. You know, I think people sometimes will get a little skeptical about those numbers, saying, well, you know, we're in a COVID-19 crisis response mode right now, and that's really why the numbers are being artificially driven down. Is that true?
Not really. Not at all. OSHA has a set formula that normalizes numbers across the industry. The formula is very simple. It's based on 100 people working 2,000 hours per year. So simply you take the number of injuries times 200,000 and you divide it by the hours worked. So if with the absenteeism a little bit higher than it's been normally, the hours are down, that's figured in based on the formula that we use. The blue and gold shifts that Groton Operations has provided, employees are spread out more, it's less congested, there's a better opportunity to eliminate employees working above one another, the opportunity for arc flash. The teleworking definitely has been a big plus. I mean, the parking issues are pretty much resolved for now. The crosswalks, people going to and from by working at home, they don't have the issue about going to and from work. I mean, those are three examples of where we've impacted, or what the impact of COVID-19 has done to our safety performance.
But to your point, I mean, we were seeing strong safety performance, you know, in this, you know, down 38% or thereabouts, even before our COVID response, weren't we?
That's correct. We actually pulled the numbers from January to the end of January through March 1st, and then March 2nd through actually last Saturday. The numbers are almost identical. The number of injuries, the hours are down a little bit, but everything is pretty much just about the same. The numbers for the first 2 months were incredibly low. We beat last year, each of the January and February in 2019. There were only 2 months, so we're cautiously optimistic. Now we're going into month number four, and those numbers still continue to be positive.
Well, good. Glad to hear that. So tell me a little bit about what you think is driving this overall.
Well, there's been a very strong, renewed emphasis by senior leadership. And you yourself have been abundantly clear that safety is the number one priority. You've also made it clear that it's not only a priority, it's a value that we all must adhere to. The elimination of last year's, of the many years at Electric Boat to create a safety goal allow us to publicly say that it's okay for a certain number of people to get hurt. That was re-messaged. That was a strong message sent to our shipbuilders. The badge cards, the accountability and ownership that the supervisors we put on them now through updating safety badge cards so they know exactly where they stand by team each month. We have team calendars, safety calendars, where each crew updates the calendar daily so they know how they did the day before. The visibility and the emphasis, the accountability has just been incredible of late.
Good. Thanks for that. Glad to hear it. And I think we need to continue in that vein. It is, after all, particularly when it comes to safety, about accountability to each other. And we established some core values last year. The first of those is valuing our people, and I can think of no better way to value each other in terms of the way we operate as a business than to make sure we're looking out for each other from a safety perspective. So I want to talk a little bit now about what you and your team and other members of our COVID response team have done to continue to help ensure the safety of our employees during our crisis response. So let's talk a little bit about with our listeners about what's been done so far.
I'd like to break that down in three areas, Kevin. Cleaning being the first one. Facilities and purchasing work together to obtain portable hand washing and sanitizing stations that are, we spread throughout both Quonset Point and Groton operations to ensure that our shipbuilders have adequate availability to wash their hands, not just sanitize them with Purell. The facilities team has been incredible. They've increased their number of cleanings and disinfectant that they've done. Operations has provided reallocated employees from different trades, redeployed employees from different trades to help out. We've aligned contractors to go in and sanitize areas that we've noticed that we've been deemed as symptomatic. And we've adjusted our work schedules to allow for a deep cleaning between shifts. All that on top of just a normal keeping the business open and being able to operate COVID-free. We've also, at the tool cribs, we've sanitized, put a program in where we're sanitizing tools in and out of the crib. The electronic devices by our IT folks are being all sanitized for redeployment. That's pretty much the area on cleaning and sanitizing. Okay, the second area I'd like to talk about is PPE. There's been an extensive drain on all of the suppliers in the United States for PPE. The medical community is looking for it. The essential businesses are looking for it. So we've had to maintain a line where we can make sure that our folks, our shipbuilders are being protected and provided the PPE that they need. And then also support the community, the local communities, where they're actually asking for help. We were actually able to help out Rhode Island Hospital, King County Hospital in Warwick, and L&M Hospital over here in New London, along with making sure our inventories didn't affect our employees. Purchasing has been phenomenal. They've been able to identify additional suppliers for us to find other suppliers for PPE, such as facial coverings. We've also identified surgical masks as an option to be used in the shipyard, something we've never used before. That gives us a little bit of help for the lack of an N95 dust masks that are available. And also I want to give a big shout out to the departments, the EB employees. We've actually have employees that have made over 3,000 cloth masks. The sail loft cuts the material. The Department 252 upholstery shop, they're actually sewing the masks together. The Department 246 laggers, they're also sewing and making the masks. And our Department 251 painters in the respirator laundry are washing and sanitizing and packaging each one of them. It's been an incredible effort by that team to also support our shipbuilders here at EB. Hand sanitizer is another issue that's we've had issues obtaining. We've actually found two distilleries that are retooled that are making 70% alcohol sanitizers and disinfectants during this whole virus. We've been able to obtain hundreds of gallons of those as well. The third area I'd like to focus on is our commitment to our mission and our commitment to our customer. The 792 boat, as you know, we just delivered her 2 weeks ago. But while during this crisis, we've had to go through three work periods and three sea trials, we needed help. We polled. The planning department came in. They volunteered 15 employees volunteered to help us out. We had to do temperature screening 24/7 through the Easter weekend to ensure that the crew and our employees were safe, either working or serving on that ship. So, again, a shout out to the planning department for helping us out. 793 rollout, we had to make sure that the folks that are working in close proximity were protected from spreading this virus. A TSR, a temporary standing order, was put into place by operations. All employees were instructed to maintain 6-foot social distancing as much as they could. They were all outfitted with different types of facial masks, facial coverings, specifically the N95. I'm proud to say that that event went off injury-free, and there were no new cases or no new symptomatic employees that came out of that event. Again, that was into the Easter weekend, and it covered 2 full days, Friday and Saturday. The last item, or last piece I'd like to talk about is the 768, the USS Hartford. They were having issues over at the sub base. We had a team that was deployed over to help work out some issues. The team consisted of outside machinists and a number of engineers. They agreed to be outfitted with PPE. Dr. Hurley and Dr. Andrews provided the correct PPE that was required for them to perform the work. They actually went through, completed their work, and actually rowed the boat to allow the USS Hartford to complete its mission. The last key event I'd like to mention is the work at Quonset Point to complete Section 6 and 7 on the USS Idaho to get that delivered to Groton on time. That opens up more work for our employees and allows employees to be brought back from furlough. This was all during the COVID-19 process as well, so shout out to the Quonset Point team for getting 6 and 7 here on time. And overall, I just want to emphasize the fact that without the efforts of purchasing, facilities, operations, planning, and the medical teams, we would not have been able to come through that this very difficult time for us all.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that. And some of those accomplishments are really amazing to think about, given everything that we were up against with our COVID crisis response. So, you know, you spent a lot of time looking at safety over the years. What do you think that we've learned from our COVID response that we can continue to practice as we get to this idea of a new normal?
The biggest thing, I think, is the when the company and the union leadership sat down to talk about different work schedules and to come through some of the issues that COVID-19 has presented us. I mean, keep in mind, none of us had a playbook for this. This was a blank page by page. And the interface between the company and the unions, the give and take, the emphasis was put on the employees, the safety of the employees was incredible. I'm really hoping that continues forward. Working from home, I think working from home is a key to go look at for the right jobs. Limits congestion. Work-life balance is taken into consideration. Reduces the parking issues that we have. But again, it has to be for the right jobs. Revised work schedules is a big deal. Spreading people out, just allowing them to do their jobs. I'm hopeful that those type of schedules, variation in schedules will be looked at and continued in the future as well.
So we've got a great start to 2020. I don't want to go backwards, especially when it comes to safety, because that means people are getting hurt out there. So what do you think we can do to help sustain a positive safety performance the rest of the way in 2020?
It's really, Kevin, it's really simple. We all have to follow the safety rules. There's PPE required for jobs for a reason. We have to ensure that the supervisors are doing thoughtful, open pre-job briefs, that they're engaging their employees. Look out for one another. We want to embrace the 200% accountability strategy. 200% accountability is a strategy in which we're asking employees to be 100% accountable for themselves and 100% accountable for their coworker. If everybody's working together and looking out for one another, that's 90% of where we need to be. If you see something, we want you to say something. Safety is a team sport. It's maybe funny to say that, but it's a true team sport. Everybody has to play. The unions, the employee, management, the supervisor, safety professionals, all of us. We all have to be on the same page. We only have one goal, and that's obvious in the 12 years that I've been in this job. We do and really truly believe that we want the people to go home in the same condition that they came in as. But our actions have to show that. We can't let schedule go over safety. We need to make sure that people are listened to. But the people and the employees at all levels, whether it's a supervisor, a welder, all have to be able to speak freely, and then we have to take action on those comments.
All right. Well, thanks, Paul. I appreciate it. We've done, I think, a heck of a job this year with our safety performance. I've never seen such an improvement in such a short period of time, and that's a testament to the work that you're doing, and as you indicated, how all of us are working together across the board to make it a safe workplace for everyone. So appreciate your time, and let's stay focused on this the rest of the way of 2020 and beyond. So to everybody listening, thank you for listening, and please stay healthy and safe. Thanks.